What's up, Kelly?
How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good. I got this window behind me. I
All good. All good. Well, thank you for taking the time to do this today.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, just introduce yourself first.
So, I'm Kelly Flanagan. I am the area manager for a Columbus, Ohio-based restaurant group. We have Napa Kitchen and Bar and the Wine Bistro. As the name suggests, we're very wine-focused restaurants. Five total locations in Ohio.
Awesome. Thank you very much. Where in Ohio? I mean, I see the towns that you're in, but there's smaller towns. Are you around Cincinnati or Cleveland or what area are you in?
Yeah, so we have three restaurants in Columbus. We're kind of in Columbus suburbs. So Dublin, Westerville, and Upper Arlington are our Columbus area restaurants. And then one in Montgomery, which is just north of Cincinnati. And then we just opened a location in Toledo a month ago.
Yeah, that's right. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
How long have you been in the business?
I started waiting tables when I was 16.
God, it's
So,
amazing how many people get the bug early around that age and
yeah,
start.
it's the only job I've ever had. So,
Have you
one
done
thing
it
I know how
since you were
to
16?
I'm sorry?
Have you done it since you were, I mean, did you do it off and on, like start when you were 16 and you just.
Yeah, I started waiting tables when I was 16 and I served and bartended through college and I graduated from Ohio State with a degree in journalism, but I wasn't really sure that that's what I wanted to do. So I got a restaurant management job instead and here I am a lot of years later.
That's so cool. What is it about the restaurant business?
I think, like so many of us who work in the industry, it's just kind of every day is different. It's similar things from day to day, but you never know what you're gonna get from day to day. And so every day is just something new, different, interesting. Now that I'm in this role that I'm in now where I manage multiple units, I do spend some time in an office, and I find myself after a little bit of time in the office, I get a little bit restless. So, just this idea that we're constantly moving, things are changing, interacting with new people on a regular basis keeps it fresh and interesting.
It does. Well, coincidentally, so does journalism a little bit, right? Like
Yeah.
you're doing like different stories all the time and meeting new
Yeah.
people and following up on stuff. So when you were, so you got a degree in journalism, did you consider pursuing that, or did you just kind of know you'd been in restaurants and you knew that was just.
Yeah, as I was part of the way through school, I started thinking maybe this isn't really exactly what I want to do. But I wasn't really sure alternately what I wanted to do. So I just stuck it out. I got my degree. I figured it was better to have something than nothing. And then restaurants were really the only other thing that I knew how to do. And so I was persuaded to go into management. And I worked for a local corporate chain called Max and Irma's for a few years. And then worked my way into the company that I'm with now.
How long has the business that you're with now? How long has this group been around?
So the wine concepts, we opened the first one, I think 12 years ago, and I've been with the company for 11 years.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
So I joined as we were opening this our second location. And then through the 11 years that I've been here, I've done personally myself, I think 8 different restaurant openings. Unfortunately, we've closed some along the way, but yeah, it's been a great experience of watching the company and these concepts grow from just new conceptual restaurants into the multiple units that we have now.
So very wine centric. Are you a big wine connoisseur yourself, or is how, what sort of drives that within the company?
Yeah. So I didn't know anything about wine when I started working here. I didn't even drink wine. and now I would call myself a wine geek. I'm definitely into new, interesting, different wines, whatever I can try, whatever I can learn. So it's definitely been a fun part of the job that I got to experience. It's something that I didn't even know that I liked until I started working here. But yeah, the idea of all of our concepts is we are very wine focused, trying to present this marriage of wine and food, but also creating an environment where we can make wine accessible and approachable to our guests. A lot of people are intimidated by wine. You go to a lot of places and people are kind of snobby and pretentious about it. And we're not trying to do that at all. We want to make it approachable, accessible. We want to educate. So we try to just be as friendly as we can about it, offering a huge selection that changes regularly. So even if you came in every day, you could try a different wine every day that you came in.
Where are y'all sourcing all these wines? Do you or the owners travel a lot, or?
So there's about 15 different distributors that we work with in the state of Ohio. So our distributor partners are really huge in helping us to introduce the wines to our guests. So kind of the way the process works is the distributors represent these different wineries. They bring the wines to us in the restaurant. A really fun part of our job is we get to taste before we buy. So we get to try all of the wines and then bring them into our program and then introduce them to our guests that way.
When you're tasting wine, I know this is going to sound silly, but I don't know a whole lot about wine. My wife likes wine. I don't really drink wine, but like, you're doing a tasting with one of the distributors and you've got what, like maybe 5-10 different wines you're trying. Is that how that goes?
Yeah, typically.
Do you sip it and spit it out, or do you sip it and swallow it?
It just depends on how many wines you're tasting. So obviously if you drink the wine, you're potentially going to get intoxicated, and that's kind of frowned upon at work. So that's why you'll see a lot of people, if they're tasting a lot of wines consecutively, will sip it and kind of swirl it around, but then spit it out, because you can still get the full effect of the wine with then not the effects of the alcohol.
That's why I was wondering if you could do that. Okay, so when you swirl it around, you still can't. And then so you all do that, and then you've got so you're constantly changing your wine. And then you're like, how many wines do you have typically? I mean, I know it may vary from across your different restaurants or concepts.
Yes, we usually have about 500 to 600 different wines in the restaurant at any given time.
That's a lot of wine. Mm-hmm. Golly, you'd hope nobody breaks into the wine cellar.
Yeah. So what we like to do with our wine is we actually have shelving that goes around the restaurant. So all the wine's on display in the dining room. So it kind of marries a restaurant and a wine store. And then the wine is not printed on a list. We just encourage our guests to get up and walk around so you can kind of shop it like you were if you were in a retail store. So you can see the bottles, read the labels. That's part of what makes it a little bit more approachable for people, helping them to understand what they're getting without just having to choose from a list of names. And then you would just grab the bottle and take it over to your table and enjoy it.
Nice. Very cool. That sounds like a neat way to dine, and definitely much less intimidating for a guest. And that's a lot to choose from. Do you help them pair, like based on what they may want to eat, you help them decide whether it's a cab or a Pinot Noir or things like that, help them narrow it down?
Yeah, we can definitely recommend pairings with the wines that we have and food on our menu. But I like to tell people, drink the wine that you like, eat the food that you like. Our menu is designed to mesh well with the wine. So nothing's really going to clash with each other. So even if you want to have a Sauvignon Blanc and a steak, that technically doesn't follow the rules, but if that's what you like, we encourage you to go for it.
Go for it. I like it. Okay. And do you find yourself right now dealing with something that I seem to be hearing from most parts of the country, if not all, which is it's a struggle to get people to work right now? Do you all deal with that where you are too?
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, we just opened a restaurant, and typically when we do an opening, I want to hire 50 to 60 employees. And the thought of trying to hire that many people at once was really daunting for us. So it is something that we are all still struggling with in our existing locations and as we went through this opening. But we are pretty fortunate that even pre-pandemic, we've had relatively low turnover in our restaurants. So I think we do a nice job of creating a work environment where people like to come to work, where it's a place that they want to stay and grow. So our retention is pretty good. So I don't think we've been struggling as much as maybe some other people. We've definitely felt the hurt. But I think we've been pretty fortunate, just generally speaking, that our turnover is relatively low. So I don't know that we've been impacted as greatly as maybe some other places.
What's tell me about the culture there. Why do people want to be there and stay there?
I mean, I think first off, it's just a place that people would like to come as a guest. So to work at a place that it's somewhere that you would want to go if you didn't work there, or that you want to go when you're not working. So it's a place that they want to invite people that they know to come in. They feel proud recommending. And then it's just an overall culture of we take care of our people. We do what we need to do to create a positive working environment, to create an environment that our staff enjoys coming to. They have fun, that everybody gets along. And we just kind of create this culture of being a place that you enjoy going to. And I think most people would probably say if they didn't have to go to work, they wouldn't. But since most of us do have to go to work, you know, it's nice to be able to say that the majority of the time we enjoy going there. We like the people that we work with. We like the environment that we're in. The wine definitely helps. We do a lot of training and education on the wine. And so that's kind of an added perk to the job as well, is to get to work around that and some tasting and continued education in the wine program.
You've had a couple that you said that over the years that haven't with this group that you know, wound up at some point shutting the doors. What did y'all learn from those?
Yeah. You know, so we had a couple smaller restaurants that really just, I think a lot of it boiled down to location and seat numbers. Typically within our restaurant, we see that guests will dine for about 2 hours or so, which is longer than your typical turn in a restaurant. And so when we've got a restaurant that only has 50 or 60 seats and people are staying for 2 hours, it unfortunately doesn't necessarily work with getting people in there to be able to experience the restaurant, you know, I guess in the numbers that you would want them to. So that was kind of our biggest challenge with some of the locations that had closed, and just along with, you think a location is going to be great, and then it just turns out that it just doesn't quite work for what you're looking for. So, we've had some great successes, but unfortunately we've had some that didn't work out. And then unfortunately too, we had some COVID casualties. So,
yeah. So you had some that you just hadn't reopened from COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the new one? Tell me about that.
Yeah. So our new location is a lot of new things for us. So we're in a new market. We're in Toledo. So that is a new territory for us. We are in downtown versus all of our other locations are in the suburbs. And we're in a hotel, which we've never done before. All of our other restaurants are freestanding. So a lot of new challenges that we encountered doing this new location, but we're really excited about it. Downtown Toledo is really going through this revitalization process. So there's a lot of renovation happening in downtown. So I think over the course of the next couple of years, we're going to see the residential boom down there. There's a lot of events and activity. So we're kind of getting in on the ground floor as everything is really up and coming, and we've got a great location. So we're just really excited about it. Just being in this new market, but kind of getting in as we're in this beginning process of this renewal of downtown Toledo.
Is this a new hotel or one that's being renovated, or just one where that was there a restaurant in here before? Or?
So it was an existing hotel. It's been vacant for many years. So that's kind of part of this revitalization process of downtown Toledo, is that they did a full renovation of this hotel. This has been a couple years process. It's a 15-story hotel. And there was an existing restaurant in there, which we took over the space, but everything pretty much was gutted and brand new. So back in the day, it was previously a hotel, but everything newly renovated, newly branded. So it's a really beautiful new property down there.
Did y'all work on this through COVID?
We didn't start our restaurant portion until about August of 2021. But the hotel, yeah, was under construction for a couple of years. So they kind of caught the tail end of things and then working through all of the post-COVID. So
was the build out delayed and or more expensive than the build out would have been 2 or 3 years ago? I mean, it just seems like everything costs a lot more now to.
Yeah. I mean, supply chain created a huge issue with a lot of things. It's typically when we do a restaurant opening, we'll order our equipment package, you know, maybe 90 days ahead of opening or something like that. I mean, we were ordering 6 to 8 months ahead of time, just trying to stay in front of supply chain. And we still had things that didn't arrive on time. That was a really small scale of what we were dealing with in the restaurant compared to what they were dealing with on the hotel side. I mean, imagine 15 stories, over 300 rooms. So they were able to get it done in pretty decent time, but yeah, we experienced some delays, a lot of just with supply chain issues, and you think something's going to show up and then it doesn't, and then you're not sure when, and now you're too late to find a replacement. So you're just kind of stuck waiting for it. But everything came together at the last minute and we're up and running. So
you're at it. Are there issues? I may be just dreaming this, but did somebody tell me recently that wine has been affected a lot by the supply chain?
So there is a glass shortage is what I'm being told. So the bottles, it's harder for the wineries to find bottles.
Wow.
So we'll see how this is going to impact this 2022 vintage. You've got harvesting now in the Southern Hemisphere and then in the fall in the Northern. We'll see how it's going to impact the supply, just because of the glass shortage. And we've already kind of prior to this seen wineries trying out some different methods of packaging the wine. You've got wine in a box kind of has a bad stigma, but they're actually, it's actually a good method of packaging. So we kind of saw some wineries that weren't doing that before try to move towards those larger formats. You've got wine in a can. I think they're trying to get a little bit creative and see how they're going to work through the glass shortage. Bottle will always be the best vessel for wine because of the aging capabilities, though. So we'll just have to work through it.
Because it ages best in glass. And you mentioned Southern Hemisphere and Northern Hemisphere. Are there Southern Hemisphere? So is this South America, Australia, New Zealand? Is that where it comes from in the Southern Hemisphere?
Yeah.
Okay. And what, so Northern Hemisphere, did I hear that England is starting to produce wine, or is that, I feel like I heard that they were starting to create, like, bottle some good wine over in England, but
yeah. Yeah. I mean, you can grow grapes anywhere. You can plant. Just because you can grow grapes doesn't necessarily mean you should. That's really based on the climate and what type of varietal you're planting and how it's going to hold up. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to hear that. They're a big wine drinking market, but their climate makes it a little bit tricky. It's pretty cool the majority of the year. So
yeah,
it might make it a little bit more difficult to grow some of the different types, but it's definitely possible.
What's that valley in Oregon that produces a lot of good wine? Or maybe it's like a certain varietal. I don't remember.
Oh, Willamette Valley in Oregon. Yeah. They specialize in Pinot Noir.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that such a good location?
So somebody discovered many years ago that Willamette Valley area in Oregon kind of falls almost on the same latitude, longitude lines as the Burgundy area in France. And so Burgundy in France is kind of Pinot Noir's birthplace. And so you've got similar climate type there that is ideal for Pinot Noir. Pinot Noir is a thinner skinned grape, so it likes some cooler temperatures. So Burgundy and Oregon, while they might get hot during the day, it's still cool at night. So typically good conditions for Pinot Noir, and that's why it does well there.
Okay, gotcha. Man, I've learned more about wine in the last 30 minutes than I've ever known. What do you spend, like, what is it? I know it changes, and I know that's what you love about the job, is it each day is different and you have a lot of different things, but like right now during the days, are you spending a lot of your time when you're not in the office? Do you spend a lot of time driving around to your locations? Do you spend a lot of time? Are you in Toledo a lot now since that's new? Or what does a day look like for you most of the time, ideally?
I do spend a lot of time in the car. Even when I'm in Columbus, there's 3 restaurants in Columbus, but they're all about 20 minutes apart. So if I wanted to go to every restaurant in a day, I still have to spend a decent amount of time in the car. And then the restaurants that are out of town for me, Cincinnati has been open for about 4 years. I still try to go there every week or every other week. So that's just heading down there and just observing how the shift runs and interacting with the managers and things like that. And then Toledo being our newest restaurant, I still spend several days a week up there. So fortunately for me, we're in a hotel. So I basically just go up there and I live at work for a few days.
Oh yeah. I didn't think about that. Yeah. That makes it easy.
Yeah. So I do spend a lot of time traveling between the locations, but I try to spend as much time in the restaurants as I can, just interacting with staff, interacting with managers. For the most part, we have great teams and the restaurants run smooth. So it's really just me giving feedback on my observations and suggestions on how we can improve our operations and get things running better and try to be a little bit more profitable.
You seem like a very cool lady. I can see why people would want to work for you. You got a cool demeanor, and that goes far in your world. I mean, you've got, you know, it could be easy to maintain and carry a lot of stress in hospitality. I mean, you've got a lot of locations and a lot of people that are employees, you know, looking to you, customers. It's a lot to manage. So I tip my hat. I think it's an impressive thing to do to manage all the things that you have to manage on a daily basis and keep your head on straight, Kelly. Seriously.
I've had great mentors and great people to learn from. So I've been really fortunate to work with a lot of great leaders who I've picked up skills from. And I think just all of us could probably say we've also worked with some people who we've learned some things not to do.
Absolutely.
So
sure. Absolutely. Well, you're a great example of, you know, what just how if you start in restaurants, and I've got three kids. My middle son he starts on Monday, his first job at a restaurant. But I always said, like, you know, you can, it's such a great career, because if you're with, you know, if you attach yourself to a good group of people, then they're going to run a good business, and that business is going to grow over time if they want it to. And with that growth comes opportunities for you to grow with it. I mean, you all will keep opening restaurants and hiring new people, which presents new opportunities. And it's just a wonderful industry for that reason. In addition to the fact that it's like one of the only industries, I believe, that truly doesn't matter what, you know, like where you came from, where you went to school, what color your skin is, what gender you are. It's like, if you will show up and take good care of our guests and be a good teammate and work hard, you know, sky's the limit, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's such a great, diverse environment. It's a great place to meet different kinds of people and learn about different people, different cultures. But also too, I think restaurants are great for somebody who maybe doesn't quite know their place. Yeah. There's so many different things that you can do in a restaurant. I think if you have somebody who just has a great attitude and a willingness to work hard, you can find a place for them in a restaurant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you very much for taking the time to do this today. And thank you for your business. And we appreciate y'all, and just, you know, so happy to have the chance to serve folks like you and your crew. And please, you know, pass along to everybody. But if you ever need anything, you know where I'm at. And but I really appreciate you doing this. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And good luck. Good luck. I know that you got open. That's the first step. And now,
yep, first hurdle. Now, yeah, we just got to keep it going.
All right, Kelly. Well, thank you very much. And I appreciate you, and appreciate all of y'all. And have a good one.
You too. Thank you.
All right. See ya. Bye. Let's do a recording.